Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, where Jesus says to you, "Peace be with you." The secular world has quickly moved on past Easter, but the good news of Easter joy is still here. Christ still is risen. And make no mistake, it's not simply enough for you to believe that Christ is risen from the grave, but you must believe that Christ is risen for you. You must believe that he rose for your sake and for your benefit. God's own Son didn't need to suffer and die and rise again to glorify himself. He did it for you. St. Paul writes that he was delivered up for your trespasses and raised for your justification. Through Christ's death and resurrection, he has defeated sin, death, and hell. And all that victory he has credited to you. Even amidst all the sorrow and suffering and sadness that we face in this life, Christ was still raised for your justification. And to be sure, you will continue to face sufferings in this world, and that pain is real. However, whatever it is that causes you anxiety and despair and fear, you can look at it straight in the eye and rejoice, knowing that you have been baptized into Christ Jesus. Death has lost its sting. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel text this morning, it is the evening of Resurrection Day. St. John writes, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, the disciples are hiding away in fear. But they already know that Jesus is alive." The women told them. The women had seen Jesus, saw Jesus earlier in the day. And they'd heard the report that Jesus visited with the two others on the road to Emmaus. But if you think about it, who would really blame them for being afraid? Because the reality of the crucifixion is still raw in their minds. They saw the pain that Jesus endured on the cross, the blood and the gore. They had witnessed an injustice done to an innocent man. The death of the one whom they had left everything for and followed for 3 years. And now they're hiding behind locked doors because they're afraid that they're going to be next, that they might be arrested and put to death for following Jesus and supporting his earthly ministry. But that evening, behind the locked doors, Jesus reveals to them his humanity. He shows them, at the same time, his divinity. Our text says he came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." "Peace be with you" is not an empty greeting like when I greet you out here on Sunday mornings. I say, "Hi there, how you doing today?" Well, that's an empty greeting. So remember that next time I greet you, that I'm shallow and empty. But "peace be with you" is not an empty and shallow, warm feeling of wishes. When Jesus speaks peace to you, he gives you exactly what that word means, namely wholeness in Christ, security and salvation, announcing to you that you have been reconciled with the Father. Before Jesus spoke, the disciples were in fear. But St. John records that after speaking his peace upon them, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They no longer feared, but they were glad. Jesus didn't give them an empty greeting, but speaks his peace upon them. And at that very moment, they receive his objective peace, which they subjectively enjoyed. Jesus greets his frightened, denying, and deserting disciples with his peace, declaring to them that all is well, absolving them of their sins with his peace that he earned on their behalf on the cross, peace which was purchased by his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And this was all according to the Father's plan to redeem the world, redeem sinners such as you and I. Like I said, we must believe that the tomb is empty on your behalf. So in the upper room, it may be evening, but it's certainly not a dream or a hallucination. The disciples hear Jesus' voice. They see his face and his nail-scarred hands from which he was hung on the cross. They can see the gash in his side from where the blood and water flowed, ensuring that he was dead. This is the same Jesus that they knew for 3 years. He called them to be fishers of men. He taught them. They studied at his feet. This is the one whom they shared his final Passover meal with. This is the Messiah, Christ Jesus, true God and true man, whom the Father had raised bodily from the dead. And he gives you his peace, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Just a week later, Jesus comes again into that room behind locked doors. Our text says 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, granting the apostles his objective peace, and it is peace that you can hang your faith upon. Now, we might be quick to suspect that, okay, so they're brave because Jesus is standing there with him. What's going to happen when he's gone and ascended into heaven? How easily might they cower under the threat of danger? But as we heard in our first reading this morning, that was not the case. Just prior to the verses in our first reading, the apostles had been arrested and thrown into prison for proclaiming Jesus' name. They had been publicly performing signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, and the Jewish leaders were jealous, so they threw them into jail. And as you remember, that night an angel of the Lord came and opened up the door to the prison cell and brought them out, telling them, go to the temple and proclaim the name of Jesus. Did they fear? They just got out of jail. Without fear or hesitation, they went to the temple and began proclaiming Jesus' name. And when the Jews discovered them there, they brought them before the whole Jewish council, that is, the Sanhedrin, this same group of fellows who had sent Jesus to Pilate to be crucified. Now, if you think that there was a time to be afraid, right then and there is when they should have been afraid. But yet, instead of denying Jesus like he had before, Peter speaks up boldly. And he wags the guilty finger pointing at the council, confessing Christ, saying, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we are witnesses to these things." Yeah. It enraged them. That word enraged in our text might be a little soft, but they wanted to kill them all right there on the spot. But the wise Pharisee, Gamaliel, calmed everyone down. They weren't put to death, but they were beaten before they were set free. They were beaten and charged never again to speak the name of Jesus, rather than go cower in fear. They left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Even in the face of persecution, they rejoiced. The apostles possessed the peace of Christ Jesus, crucified and risen from the tomb for them, for you. It was their joy to suffer for the name of Jesus. The persecution didn't slow them down, for our text says, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. There's many things in this world that tries to steal your Easter joy. Sickness, the threats around the world, and persecution. But they cannot take your Easter joy away, because Christ was raised for you. You were marked by the sign of the cross, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified in baptismal waters. You are baptized into the name of He who has overcome death and the grave. And He gives you His peace, namely wholeness in Christ, security of your salvation, and reconciliation with the Father. Being united with Christ in baptism, what can the world do to you? Neither Satan, the world, the coronavirus, or even bodily death can steal your Easter joy. The tomb is empty for you. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to go out and openly confess and openly rejoice that Christ is risen for you. You can confess your Easter joy with friends and neighbors, so that they too might share in the joy that you have as Christ your Savior. It's easy to think that proclaiming that Easter joy would be much easier if we were there and saw the nail wounds, saw Jesus alive after being dead. But you know, that's just the devil trying to tempt us to be quiet and hide the joy of our salvation. Jesus tells us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And He also says, for where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am among them. Jesus comes to you right where He promises to be, in the proclamation of His word and in the administration of His sacraments. He comes to you right here, pouring out His gifts of forgiveness and salvation, and speaks His word of peace upon you. Unlike the apostles, you have not seen Jesus' nail wounds and put your hand in His side. But the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel and has made you a blessed one. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Your faith in Christ Jesus, you are blessed. In our second reading, St. Peter is writing to many who never saw Jesus, including you and me, reminding us that we are born again in baptismal waters into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. This living hope is not some human pious wish that we might hope for, but it's the actual peace of Jesus, a promise given by God the Father. You possess it, so you look forward to an imperishable inheritance, the eternal life that will be revealed on the last day when Christ returns, when He raises your mortal body from the dust, and He'll clothe you with immortality, transforming your lowly body to be like His glorious body. And this too is your Easter joy, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too will walk in the newness of life. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I will not face trials on this side of heaven. Like the apostles, rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer dishonor for saying the name of Jesus. Rejoice when you're grieved by various trials, for it tests your faith and it drives you to the foot of the cross where you look at Jesus Christ, your Savior, who died for you, who bled for you, whom the Father raised again for you, so that you do not trust in yourself, but trust in Christ alone for your salvation. All the trials of this life cannot rob you of your Easter joy. Not the fear of the pandemic, the grief of the loss of loved ones, persecution at the hands of unbelievers, and a whole host of disappointments in this life. All these things may grieve you, and that just proves one thing, that you and I are human. However, you do not grieve as those who have no hope. You have peace in Jesus, and you have the sure hope of everlasting life with your Lord and Savior. Peter describes your Easter joy, writing, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I know for those who are watching at home, feel bad that they were not here for Resurrection Sunday, but the fact remains, every Sunday is Easter Sunday. For you know that by the grace of God, for the sake of Christ crucified and raised from the grave, you have God's peace. You have salvation for the sake of Jesus. Whatever your trials and afflictions, you possess this Easter joy, and it will last you your whole life long unto life eternal. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.